Let's turn this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while he slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on the word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will indeed illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. For these early followers of Jesus, this past week had been quite the emotional roller coaster. Beginning of the week, you recall the king rides into town on a little donkey to the accolades of cheering people. I mean, throwing their coats down and cutting down branches and making a carpet for this animal to come walking into town because the king was coming. And this same crowd, once they realized that the kingdom was not of this world that Jesus spoke of, they vented their disappointment by calling for his death. Just a few hours from one extreme to the other. The disciples themselves had developed a little bit of a case of weak knees. Judas takes a payoff. He wants to, they encourage him to betray the Lord. And Judas says, "Well, you know what? I've seen Jesus in these situations before. I've seen him get out of harm's way. And if I can enrich in myself a little bit, what's the difference? What does it matter?" So he goes and he betrays the Lord, takes the money, and has to deal with it after. Problem is, it was for that hour that Christ had come. So Judas, he was not going to be able to escape and play the game out the way maybe he thought it would be played. And when Jesus is leaving, or approached by the soldiers and the temple guards, whatever, in Gethsemane, the disciples split. They say, "We love you, Lord. We're going to stand with you, except right now our skin's on the line, so we'll be talking to you later." You know how easy it is to declare your bravery until you have to be brave? Pretty easy. You know? Pretty easy. But when the hour is there, when the threat is right in front of you, then that old nature starts to work in our minds, and we start to rationalize and figure, how can we, you know, how can we stay just enough right and be wrong? You know, that's the way it works. That's the way our minds work. Just to be clear, the disciples did love Christ. They did love Jesus. They just were so scared in that moment that they sought to preserve themselves. A couple of the disciples, at least to their credit, sort of hung around. Peter and John were, you know, in the area. They sort of followed Christ as he was led to the different trials that he would face. But not one single time did they speak up against the false witnesses that had been purchased to testify against Christ. Not one single time. You know, John, who the scriptures tell us, who Jesus loved, John didn't speak up. And Peter, well, we all know about Peter. Still, they didn't go so far that they missed on what was done to the Lord. They all saw the torment that Christ was put through. They all saw the torture that he had to endure. They saw his flesh that was shredded by a Roman whip. They saw the head impaled with thorns. They saw the man have his beard tore out. Now, ladies, you'll never get that opportunity to know how just a little tender that is to have somebody give you a tug a little too hard on these whiskers. But to grab them and tear them out in tufts. And Jesus endured that. The whole time, remember, he is God incarnate. Remember, if he had a human sin nature, he might have retaliated. But he did not have that. They watched as the Lord had his wrists and ankles pierced with spikes and then set up, not so gently, for everybody to watch and make fun of. And the thing is, not a single soul was worthy of him. Yet they watched it. And finally, Jesus declared that it is accomplished. It is finished. The work that he came to do was done. The head of the serpent had been crushed. The souls of his people were saved. Are you a Christian this morning? You were saved at the cross. You didn't just do whatever you did in these days and say, oh, now I'm saved. If you're a Christian today, that's when you were saved. The atonement was made for your sins. And y'all weren't born yet. The atonement was made for the sins that you just confessed this morning. The atonement was made for the sins that you'll commit tomorrow. That should bring us some humility. That should humble us to see that everything that he went through. He declared it to be finished, and then he dismissed his spirit. They didn't kill him like they might kill you or I. They put him on the cross, but Jesus was in complete control the whole time. Now, as that hour was finished, the Sabbath was quickly approaching, and his body needed to be taken down from that cross. And Joseph, you recall, had donated his tomb, and the disciples took him down from the cross and took him to the tomb. And the women who had attended to Christ in life were going to attend to him in death. They covered his body in what would be approximately 70 pounds of spices and aloes. And they would be anointing with these aloes and spices, and then carefully wrapping every part as they went along, because they still loved the Lord. They cared for him, and they wanted to see that he was attended to properly. And the whole time they're doing this, the whole time they're going about it, they're weeping. I can't imagine. I really can't. Having recently, within the last year or so, dealt with parting loved ones, I can't imagine being the one to be preparing them for entombment. I can't imagine that. And here these ladies are who love the Lord, who attended to him in his life, and they're working and crying because they're doing what they need to do, and they're loving him and hating the task. They'd rather not be doing this. They'd rather be having a meal together. They'd rather be fellowshipping out in the garden somewhere. They would much rather maybe even be joking with one another. But they were about a labor of love. Sometimes we say time flies. I was thinking that the other day, just how fast time really seems to go. The older you get and whatnot. Time really doesn't go any faster. It's still, still 60 minutes an hour. Unless they've upgraded it somewhere and I missed that. There's still 168 hours in a week. We still go through all that. But we say time flies because sometimes it really does seem to go by. We're in now. It seems like we just started the school year, and now we're 6 weeks to the end. It's like, where did that go? What happened? Other times, time does seem to drag. When I was on the radio, 30 seconds of dead air was forever. It's like, if you have nothing to say and nothing to play, and you have an audience out there who are hearing nothing, it's like, man, you're squirming. There's got to be some, with radio, it's about making noise. You got to send noise out there so people know you're there. It takes forever. When you're a kid and you start the school year, you don't think it's going to end. Maybe when you're a teacher, huh? For these folks here, the Sabbath couldn't end fast enough. They couldn't attend to Christ on the Sabbath day. They observed the law. They rested on the Sabbath day. They did what they could do when they got Jesus into the tomb. But then they had to go home. And now it's been 3 days since they started to prepare his body. A lot can happen in 3 days. Your mind starts working. Man, what do we got to redo? What do we, this kind of a thing. And it's early. The sun not yet breaking the horizon, but close. They couldn't wait any longer. They had to get to Jesus. They couldn't wait till 10 o'clock in the morning. They couldn't wait till noon. They had to go now. There was things that need to be done now. And they wanted to go and take care of the Lord. Now, each of the Gospels give an account of this time. Although they don't all record the same people. Matthew, she says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Mark tells us it was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome that went to the tomb. John only talks about Mary Magdalene. And Luke just says the women. It was just the women. Now later on, they would be identified as Mary Magdalene and Mary and Joanna and the others. It's kind of like the first season of Gilligan's Island. They tell you everybody except the Professor and Marianne. They were the rest. So they gave us the names of a few of the women and the rest, that went to attend. However many there were, and each of the Gospels, just because they don't record them all, doesn't mean that they contradict. It just means one observed differently than the other, kind of a thing. But they saw the same procession. There was a concern, obviously, when they were going as to how they would be able to access the body. Because after they'd been in the night of the crucifixion, it was an open tomb. But after they left, a stone had been rolled across that tomb. Stone served a couple of purposes. Yeah. It wasn't only Jesus' tomb that ever got a stone put in front of it. It was a standard procedure. Why did they do that? Well, one of the reasons was it kept the predators out. Rats weren't going to crawl in there. Jackals weren't going in there. They weren't going to go in and, abuse the body. And, of course, the other thing that the stone did was it helped keep the stench of rotting flesh inside. And so it wasn't, all about. This was a big stone. And it says in the second verse of this passage, it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Okay. That's interesting. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but it is interesting. How big was this stone that this angel was sitting on it? I mean, was the angel sitting way up here? I don't know. See, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know how big it was. And it really doesn't matter, so just forget this whole part. But at the insistence of the chief priests and the Pharisees, Pilate had ordered a round-the-clock guard to be standing there also in front of this stone. Excuse me. And that was kind of a big deal, too. They had heard the teaching of Jesus that he would rise again from the dead. And they wanted to make sure it wasn't going to happen. So they set their guard there. Nice Roman guard. Guard would, that detachment would have been made up of five or six very manly men. You know, the kind of guy you don't want to see in a dark alley. That's these Roman guards. They're standing there, they're the kind of eat the raw meat, you know, and all that stuff. Said nobody was going to mess with those guys. Nobody was going to sneak past them and, try and steal the body of Christ away. But the funny thing about these rough and tough Roman soldiers was that the appearance of an angel of God terrified them so much that they passed out. Now these guys, in the heat of battle, would be swinging swords and going crazy and doing all kinds of things. But they see an angel and boop, they're done. It's all over. They're not wimps. Jesus taught that he would suffer and die. But after 3 days, he would rise again. And the angel came and served a couple of purposes. He says that he rolled the stone so the ladies wouldn't have any issues there. But he would calm them by reminding them of God's word. The words that Jesus spoke to them all along. When we are troubled, we need to go to God's word. When things look so dim that we don't think we can get by, we need to go to God's word. That's where our counsel is going to come from, to give us hope, to give us peace, to calm us. I don't recommend that you spend hours a day watching news broadcasts, especially in these days. First of all, they're lying to you. And the other thing is, they're going to try and scare you by telling you all these terrible things. Did you know that Donald Trump is an evil monster from another planet? He has horns underneath that big hair. If they could convince you of that, they would. And he really wants to eat you for dinner. Oh, well, more power to him. They want to scare you. I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on in the world, but God's word is where we need to go for the peace that passes all understanding. It's where our comfort is drawn from. And that's what this angel is giving to the ladies, reminding them of Christ's own words. You know the thing about these dear women? And they were sincere. They loved Jesus. And they obviously were there about the business of serving him. Even after death, they served him in life. They didn't believe he was gone. They didn't believe he was alive. It was 3 days. They were going back to the cemetery to take care of the body. The disciples didn't believe Jesus. They loved him. But who gets up once you're dead, especially dead the way that Jesus was put to death? Doesn't happen. So this angel is reminding them, hey, he's God. He is the creator. He did what he said he would do. Believe it. He tells the lady, you go. Tell the disciples. He's going to meet you in Galilee. Okay, let's go. Let's go meet him. Jesus didn't wait till Galilee to show himself. He said, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. It's going on. The Lord is alive. They couldn't keep him down. The press was going to have a field day with that news. How was that going to reflect on the Jewish hierarchy? The high priest and all. They had a story that they were trying to sell. And in order for them to complete their story, Jesus had to stay dead. Fortunately, Jesus didn't pay any attention to what they thought. He did what he was supposed to do. Even at this moment, while these ladies are at the feet of the Lord, worshiping him, what's going on? Some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. The guards did this. The guards who had been assigned by Pilate to stand there and met with the approval of the chief priests and the Pharisees and Sanhedrin and all those guys. But you know what? Even as Pharaoh's heart was hardened in Egypt, these men also refused the truth. Their own guards came and said, hey, he's not there anymore. Oh, we can't explain it. He's not there. So they said, tell you what I'm going to do. You guys need a little extra money for your retirement fund, right? Need a little something? You want to go maybe on a little vacation this weekend or whatever kind of a thing? How about some money? And they were good Romans. They were happy to take money. And all they had to do was declare to the people that the disciples came and stole the body. How absurd. How absurd was that? Those guards, under the Roman way of doing things, would have been put to death because they messed up big time. They were assigned to guard a tomb to keep people from stealing a body, and their report now is the disciples came and stole the body. Well, sign your own death warrant. That's exactly what they did. But the priest promised to cover for him. He said, listen, you guys are not going to get in trouble. If this happens to reach the governor's ears, put in a word for you. has nothing to do with anything, but that always, I found that interesting, because Pilate didn't really like those Jewish guys. He really didn't. He didn't like the chief priests and the Pharisees. He didn't like them at all. They were a thorn in his side. And why these guys thought that they could go to him and just butter him up or something like that to cover for these guards, it's, you know, the scripture talks about thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. There they are. Just as an aside also, the Roman guard wouldn't have fallen asleep. They only worked 3-hour shifts. A 3-hour shift, I think you can do it. You can stay awake for that long. Just guessing. The disciples would not have had time to remove the grave clothes. If the disciples were stealing the body of Christ, it would have been a get in, get it, and get out situation. But we're told that the grave clothes were laid on the sepulcher. And in John, it tells us the napkin that covered his head was folded up neatly and set in a corner. Who does that? Carshield does not do that. Nobody would have taken the time with 6 Roman soldiers. Pardon me, sir. We want to leave a tidy tomb. You know? Nobody's doing that. Furthermore, the disciples would not have gone on to give their lives for a lie. They would not. There's no, you know, I love Peter. Peter's my favorite. Yeah. Paul's a good guy too, but Peter's my favorite of the apostles. I relate to him. He messed up. Yeah. He opened his mouth when he should have kept it shut. You know, that kind of stuff. Those guys were not going to give their own lives for a lie. They knew that Christ is alive. They would see him. Well, Jesus Christ is very much alive today. He continues to reign as king over this universe. And at the Father's appointed time, he's going to come back. That's the promise. Everything that Jesus said, he did. He said he's coming back. Hadn't done that yet. That means it's yet to do. At that point, he'll judge the living and the dead. So we look forward to that. Until then, we have this truth to enjoy. Death was defeated. Death's no big enemy anymore. You understand, when this body lays down, it's only a body laying down for a while. We're getting back up. Because Jesus did it, so will we. It's important that we know that. But it's more important that we know him. And may that be our prayer. That day after day, we come to a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is and fall more deeply in love with him. We thank him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,